Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Pitch to him. Fly ball deep right. It's going to win the game. Abreu's going back and watching it sail. It's a grand slam. Oh, my goodness. Christian Yelich. Swing and a miss. He gassed him up. He blew him away. 102 miles an hour. Breaking ball. Hit high. Hit deep. Left center. Bye-bye baseball. The legend of Andrew Vaughn keeps growing. A grand slam. You have got to be kidding me. Flair, shallow center, base hit. Marte's being set. Here's the throw from Perkins. It is going to be in time. Game over. Blake Perkins says goodnight. And a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Would you like fries with that? 12 in a row for the crew. Fly ball left field. Back and gone again for Yelly. The Brewers lead it 9-8 in a game that should be played in the upside down.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Stomp your feet, clap your hands. You're part of the team sitting in the stands. Come see what's
It occurred to me yesterday, as I was watching some of the content rolling out of our buddies in the afternoon, that they were much more angry and frustrated with the Brewers' recent performances than we were, gang. Like, Ben Brust almost bursted a vessel, like an eye vessel. Like, you know when you're sick in college and you pop, pop. I thought for sure that was going to happen yesterday as I was watching on the stream. Are we not sufficiently upset about the situation the Brewers find themselves in? I guess I'll speak for myself, guys. I think this has been a remarkable, incredible, extraordinary season for our Milwaukee Brewers. So while I am disappointed in the lack of production, the struggles that they have had over the last two games against the Dodgers, I'm not sitting here, you know, throwing out the baby with the bathwater, to use an old phrase my mom used to say. Am I wrong in that? Should I be more angry? Should I be more fired up and more frustrated about where we are, Gabe?
I'm not there yet because, again, like, there's still – now, again, to me, this could all end very quickly tonight. If they don't win tonight, then, yeah, it's over, down 3-0. But if they win tonight, kind of like, I don't know, the Blue Jays went out and dominated after their offense looked pretty bad at home in their first games and lost, and then they explode for 13 runs last night against the Mariners on the road. Yeah, like right now, like I saw there was a photo that was posted yesterday. I don't even know who posted it, but the couple Brewers players were throwing a football around on the field there at Dodger Stadium. Looks like Caleb Durbin was running around against Sal Frelick. And there were people, but you should be working on your hitting. What do you want them to do? Swing until their hands bleed?
Yep.
Like, I don't think that's gonna help. Don't think that's gonna help if they can't feel their hands when they come to the plate tonight. Like, yeah, they can be relaxed. They can have some fun.
Something here?
What's that?
If I were to bet, I'd bet they've been working on hitting. I bet they had taken some swings earlier.
Nope. I bet before, that's the only thing they did yesterday. They split up the teams, and they played a two-hand touch game in the outfield of Dodger Stadium. That's all they did yesterday, Joshy.
Okay.
No batting practice. Probably didn't watch any film. Have the iPad out. Go over any sort of scouting report on Tyler Glasnow. No, I bet that didn't happen. Just football.
No.
It is always surprising, Chu, when people think that they care more about the outcomes than the players whose livelihood it actually is.
Well, you want the truth? To some of them, it kind of is.
Well, true. Yeah, I mean, you've played with guys who it's not
that. I'm telling you. Yeah. I mean, some guys really, really. I would say when it comes to football, maybe not even half.
What did you just do there?
Well, sound effect action.
But to answer your original point about our
Listerine
question about
over
the
there?
Idiots,
what's going on?
The idiots in the afternoon.
To be fair, I didn't say that.
But
it was implied.
But we were guarded. I remember talking about it. We were guarded coming into this thing. We're like, PTSD. This isn't the first time this has happened. We've had great teams that lose in first, second, third round of the playoffs. Right? I mean, we were all guarded.
I think we're all guarded because it's the bleeping Dodgers.
Do you not remember this conversation where we listed off Packers against San Francisco, Packers against the Giants?
Well, yeah, no, okay,
Packers
against Tampa Bay.
Wisconsin in the Final Four against Duke.
You specifically wanted to have that conversation before Game 5.
I was guarded going into this thing.
Yeah, and now you're projecting on everybody else.
I feel 75% in. I'm not going 100. I'm sorry.
I feel like I have not been guarded. I have dove headfirst into this thing, recognizing full well, because it's the playoffs, that my heart's probably going to get broken. Because, what being a sports fan is. One team gets to win the championship every year.
You want to hear what about three of my friends told me yesterday?
I want to feel everything that there is to feel, whether it is good, bad, or otherwise. I want to feel it all as a fan, especially with this team.
My buddy said, they love Gabe's passion, but he is a toad. He's like the horse in the Kentucky Derby. La, 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 la. I can't see you to the side of me. You have a little bit of blinders, Gabe, you must admit.
When it comes to what? Because I said that there's two games left. Like, the Dodgers have only won two games. You want me to go, it's over. Don't even watch tonight. Watch Party of Pato. Probably shouldn't be even tuning in on our YouTube page.
Well, now we are resembling the show in the afternoon. Like, so there you go. Look at that, guys. Only took 7 minutes.
If that's what you want.
Are you still all in?
Yes. Of course I am.
I'm not.
You've never been all in.
It's fair.
But I'm all in. Yes, I am all in. I cannot wait for this game tonight because this team has responded. And maybe they don't respond tonight. Maybe the bats go quiet and Tyler Glasnow shoves the way that Yamamoto and Snell did before him. That's certainly a possibility, but I'm not giving up on this team yet.
If that does happen, then what do you say the next day? Do you say again?
At 3-0 on the road, it's probably over. But do you want me to not watch? Should I not be watching game four if they're down 3-0?
What are you looking for out of us here?
To agree with me.
But we never didn't agree with you.
Jen?
I think that there's a sweet spot we're trying to hit here, folks, which is, yes, we understand that the backs are against the wall. Yes, we understand it's less than ideal to be down two games going on the road to one of the most... I don't want to say prolific, but the roster that they have assembled in LA is pretty freaking prolific, right? Like, that's a good call. Didn't we used to say that about the San Francisco 49ers as well, that they had assembled the Avengers? It does feel a little like baseball's Avengers. But I also think that, to Gabe's point, this team has shown us throughout the year that they can answer the call, answer the bell, step up to the plate, and make things happen even when it feels unlikely. And so there's a part of me, again, if we believe in Murphy, if we believe in these guys, if we have enjoyed at any moment the ride that they have taken us on this season, then I think the thing we should do for them is believe. I think we should get behind them and be like, this is the team that's capable of doing it. Yeah. I keep reminding myself, guys, every time I do the whole, and I said this yesterday, I got the little voice over here, I got the little voice over here, and they are certainly arguing, competing, debating. I think about how there's only four teams left. Right? Well, one, two, three, four. Yeah,
but you know when...
NLCS. Wait, you thought there was a fifth team that was like
NLCS,
waiting?
NLCS, yes, boom.
Potentially waiting in the wings. Yeah, but like, Chewy, I can't deny that the first two games were bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. I was at game one. It was terrible. Joshy told us how awful it was to be at game two after the home run by Jackson Churio. Like, I'm not going to pretend that wasn't bad.
Let's be clear. We had a great time.
But you know when I put my safety
The results weren't great.
You know when I put
trying
my
to get
safety
the invite
net
back.
Up?
Uh-huh.
You know when I put my safety net up? When Buster only said
Dodgers
four
and four
games Dodgers. Because I like listening to really, really smart people. I mean, you guys are smart.
Then what the hell are you doing on this show?
Yeah, and what are you doing?
Well, I have to balance things out.
Which is also why we bring people like Buster Olney on the show.
Buster
Olney,
Adam Schefter, things of that nature.
You're familiar with the curve concept, right?
I think we're caught in, and you had this conversation with Craig, and it was confounding to you. We're not here talking about the Brewers in search of being right. We are being fans of them and rooting for them and hoping for the best.
Being right trumps my fandom. I'm sorry. It just does.
Is that because you're never right at home?
Probably.
Got to get wins somewhere.
She's breaking down the psychology of everyone on the show this morning.
I'm on a bad losing streak, too. Bad.
Come on. I feel like you had a win recently.
So she drilled me in the nose last night, right? You know when the head kind of gets in the way and
in the way of what?
She backs in and drills me in the nose, right? I thought I broke my nose. I thought I broke my nose. So
are we talking about what I think we're talking about?
The context here is very important. You've given us none.
It was leading up to it, but that shut it all down. That was the problem.
Wait. What were you more upset about then, it not happening or the nose?
Well, of course.
All right.
First one. I mean, I played hurt before. Not a big deal. You know.
You don't need your nose to do that.
But here's the kicker, right? Here's the kicker. I wake up at about 4 and she's gone. Gone. She's in the other bedroom cuz she said I was snoring like she uses the word banshee. Well, I'm like, you drilled me in the nose last night, and I get up, and I blew my nose, and it's full of, oh, you're going to use that for an excuse? So I lose. Yes. To answer your question, I lose too much at home. I got to win somewhere else.
You've lost more than once last night, it sounds.
Yeah, big time.
Somehow went 0-2.
I think it's 0-3, actually. I think you got the nose. I think you got the rejection. And I think you got the blame.
That's
but
true.
It ain't over yet.
Hey, I missed the third game, Jen. That's a great call.
Yeah, but I got good stuff coming tonight on the mound.
Just like the Brewers, right?
Wait, you going with an opener, or you just kind of try to ride the starter?
I got nice New York strips.
It's a good opener.
I got a good bottle of wine. I'm good to go. I got the game on at 6.
Just gonna ride the starter like there's not a euphemism happening there. Speaking of the Brewers, can't think of any other way to get out of that situation. Jose Quintana said he is ready to go today. Now that is not a confirmation that he will be the starter in today's game, but he is expecting to pitch in Game 3 today against the Dodgers. Gabe, before we get to Jason Wilde here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, what would your plan for pitching be? I guess my gut is I wouldn't be shocked. Not saying this is what I would do. I'm trying to read the Murphy sort of playbook here. I wouldn't be shocked if they go starter again and then roll a guy like Quintana in to try to go the bulk of the middle before trying to hand it over to the bullpen. What do you think will happen?
I feel like the starter that they have typically gone with has been, again, it's been Ashby for left-handed purposes. Now, McGill went out there in Game 5 because the Brewers had such an issue with the opening inning. So they went, hey, this guy's been our closer all year. He's been a lockdown guy. Let's throw him the first inning, and then Miz can take over. Quintana, I don't know how long Quintana can go. The issue with his calf injury when it happened, it's not like he could go on rehab starts down in the minor leagues to make sure his arm is in good enough shape to throw 100 pitches throughout the course of an outing. So I don't know how long he can go. But that being said, you want a lefty early because they lead off with Shohei. And I don't think going Ashby once again, I don't think you want to overdo that. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw Ashby again, maybe tomorrow leading into Miz, because the way that Miz has responded out of the bullpen has been so good. I would just start Quintana, see how long he can go, hope I can get 4, maybe 5 innings out of Quintana, and then put my bullpen plan together
Let me ask you this. Why do they put so much on Shohei? He's one guy because their next 3 hitters are right-handed, and they're flipping good.
Yeah, but Shohei's the second best hitter on the planet. And it's not particularly close.
But he hasn't been very good this postseason.
Not saying
that he can't at any time, you know, drive the ball out of the park, but this has been an underwhelming postseason for Shohei.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers are worse than Yelich.
I'm approaching Shohei and for the rest of the postseason as the guy who can single-handedly change a game, and I'm not going to let even his recent struggles affect that.
Shohei Ohtani, according to StatMuse, has a batting average of 147, 5 hits, 2 homers, 6 RBI, 3 runs scored in 8 games in the 2025 postseason.
Yeah. How many walks, though?
I mean, it might be 1,000.
Also,
I know that's the thing.
He like they just keep times, they keep throwing and just pitching
also,
around him.
Also, he can't hit the ball, but when he does, it's a home run. It seems.
Yep,
he's got two of them. So yeah.
Two of his five hits have left the ballpark.
Yeah. So let's treat him like he can do damage every single
and
time.
Again, to your point about the Avengers, what does it say about the Dodgers that Shohei Ohtani could be this ice cold and they are still rolling?
Uh-huh.
Right. You know. Yeah. Knocking off the Phillies and in this position against the Brewers. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We do have Jason Wilde coming up in just a few moments. We'll break down a little bit of the action this weekend for your Green Bay Packers and the Cardinals. But we are talking Brewers this morning as they get themselves into a Game 3 situation on the road against the Dodgers. Fall in Wisconsin is pretty special, guys. You got cool nights, game days, apple orchards, even pumpkin patches. And it is also one of the best times to sell your home. Fewer homes are on the market. Buyers right now are motivated, and that will give you the advantage. Instead of waiting for the spring rush, you could be closing on your home before the first snowfall. The We Sell Group knows how to put you in the driver's seat. They've helped countless Wisconsin families move forward, and they're ready to do the same for you. Get your fall home sale started with Rob and Nick today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Always great to get the latest from our buddy Jason on the Green and Gold. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
We are good. Varying levels of good, though, because obviously the Brewers play tonight, and I believe that as the day goes on, my stress will increase exponentially throughout the day. But so far, so good. Staying calm, taking deep breaths, all of those things. I want to ask you
back to being a fan.
I want to ask you about the quarterback situation for the Cardinals and how the Packers are approaching it. Kyler Murray, as most people know, is dealing with a foot injury. Missed some of the game, I believe, maybe the whole game against the Colts. He missed the whole game against the Colts. So how are the Packers preparing for who they might see under center this weekend?
Yeah, they're preparing for both, and they're not the same type of quarterback. So Jacoby Brissett's a different style, and obviously Kyler Murray has had a lot of success when he goes off schedule. So there are some components to both quarterbacks that they need to be prepared for. So they're working on both, but again, I don't care if Kurt Warner comes out of retirement or Neil Lomax and has the see, I knew that's what happens when you're old. Packers with a big win over him in the 1982 playoffs after the strike-shortened season. But look, let's be honest here. This is a team that's lost four in a row, most of them close. I think four losses by a total of 9 points. This is the kind of game that the Packers, if they are who they think they are, need to show that they can go on the road. I don't care if they win by 9 points or 90 points. They need to be able to show that they can get this done, and it shouldn't matter who the quarterback is. This is a team that has certainly been in disarray at times with Jonathan Gannon, rightfully ticked off about that running back or whoever that was that dropped the ball at the goal line. But the bottom line is that this is a game that they should win if they are who they think they are, and they need to make sure that they do that.
Jason, do you believe Christian Watson will be active?
So I don't. And here's why. I was talking to him yesterday, and he said something that certainly sounded to me like he was a little further away from maybe what we thought, even as we've all, and look, I have been leading the band talking about how exciting it is for him to be back. Here's the quote that he said. I think it would help to be able to stack multiple weeks of practice. I've got an idea of how I'm feeling in my head, but at the same time, I'm just relaying everything to the training staff, the doctors, and really leaving it up to them. To me, that sounded like a guy that wants to play right away, but doesn't want to have a setback, and that the medical staff wants to make sure that he's fully ready to go. So my prediction, not a report, is that he'll probably not play this week either. And then, you know, here's the other thing that I thought was interesting.
I was going to say, did you see the article, Jason, about the players are ticked off about the surface in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So does that,
look at you.
But they resodded it. They just resodded it.
Which is sometimes worse, though.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be like the beach back in your day.
Jason's working through the shock of Chewy reading articles. I caught that, Jason.
Yeah. I think I'm more troubled that we're on the same page, and he literally like is finishing my sentences. Paula doesn't even do that. I did, and I read the quarterback. It's nice to see Aaron Rodgers have a strong opinion. You know, he's so wishy-washy on so many things. That doesn't sound like an ideal circumstance to bring a guy back on either. Yeah. And to Gabe's point, you know, this is Chewy and I, that, again, being old men, but they tried to resod like in winter during like the stretch run of the, what was that? Was that 97?
No, it was January of 97, but the 96 season, because they had to after the Mud Bowl against San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it was, and then it was all just sand. Like none of the grass took, and it was so, I know, you know, that was almost 30 years ago now, which again was underscored for me. And I actually said this to Josh Jacobs yesterday when we were talking, like, look, man, I think the world of you, but I didn't really appreciate that you had a flu game. And when I went to look up how old you were for Jordan playing with the flu in Utah, he's like, I wasn't born yet. I'm like, yeah, that was really great. I really like that. I really like him. I can see why he's such a meaningful, significant, natural leader for that team. I mean, he's another one of those guys that he just seems to kind of hit all the right notes. And yes, when he came out and said they needed a number one wide receiver, that wasn't necessarily a popular opinion, but he has so much gravitas in that locker room that even the guys that were kind of mad about it, by the time he got done talking to them, and then by the time they drafted Matthew Golden, he was kind of able to say, might have had a point there. So anyway, I would be concerned about that on the Christian Watson front as well. But again, no one is actually saying what the timeline is. I'm just telling you that based on what he said yesterday, I am skeptical on him playing on Sunday in Arizona.
Very quickly, Gabe, before we get to your question, Jason, I know I've told this story before. The guys are well familiar with it, but on the off chance that people out there haven't heard it, when Nick Saban learned that I cover the Packers, he was talking to me about Josh Jacobs, and he said that he was the last guy that they recruited out of that class. And he said he had no idea, he never would have guessed, that he would have emerged as not only the leader on his team, on the Tide at that time, but also a leader on the Raiders and now a leader on the Packers, because he just didn't see it from him. So it just goes to show how much a guy can evolve, or maybe how even the guys that we think are really, really good at identifying that type of talent sometimes miss. I love that story about Josh Jacobs.
I better get – are you going to connect me with Nick Saban so you can – well, I suppose you'd have him on your show before you'd have him on my show. But I would love to talk about him more with Nick Saban. So I'm sure you've got his number.
Certainly can make that contact for you, Jason.
Our conversations with Jason Wildley brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're a business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. So I've been trying to work through, Jason, in my head, the lack of aggressiveness and the cushion that the linebackers and corners have seemingly been giving over the last couple of games. Because teams are getting rid of the ball quicker, and the Packers seemingly haven't made that adjustment to try to take away some of that underneath stuff. presumably because they're afraid of getting beat over the top with great wide receivers like T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and the speed that Pickens presented down in Dallas. But how come that wasn't the case against Detroit? Because Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams, pretty quick and fast themselves. So how did we go from they could be aggressive against those guys to they can't be aggressive then, and now can they be aggressive against Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride?
So I don't know. And I know Tausch hates it when I say that. But what I can tell you is if you would be so kind as to craft, you know, really put some thought into it. I know you're a busy guy. But if you would like to craft a question, you know, kind of using what you just asked me as the starting point, I'm happy to ask Jeff Hafley that today.
Okay.
And I would much rather have Jeff Hafley, you know, try and explain that because and he's great at that kind of thing. Not as great at fourth quarter defense lately, but great at answering my questions. So I would love to hear how he would answer that because I don't know what the philosophy is behind it. I'll be honest. I'm having an issue with my NFL Plus account, so I've not watched Sunday's game back, and I'm a little irritated. There's an email out there that says a strongly worded email.
I'm sure it's worded. Right at the top. It might even go straight to Roger Goodell, Jason. I think you got a good chance of getting this rectified.
I feel like I should send it to Jordy Nelson.
Yes, yeah, Jordy's
you know,
getting stuff done.
Now on this kind of stuff, man. Yeah, Brian Branch. Not only that, I'm going to give you an extra day of suspension because you play for the Lions. So I will be happy to ask him that. Just help me not look stupid, and that's all I can ask for.
Jason, what are you hearing, if anything, about the trades that are out there? These trade, it's like, you know, I guess Jeremy Fowler has thrown out some names. Do you feel like the Packers are in a position right now where they would make an in-season trade?
Well, I'm kind of torn on this because I saw something yesterday about that they've gotten calls on Rashawn Gary, which, again, at first you're like, well, wait a minute now. How's that? You know, well, why would they do that? And then you start to think, okay, given the salary cap situation that they have and his production the last couple games, and the fact that they probably don't want him on the roster next year at the number he'd be at, maybe they would listen. Now, again, I don't know the veracity of those types of reports. What I would say is that you just gave up two first-round picks for Micah Parsons, and you have a general manager who always wants as many swings at the plate as possible, like his mentor, Ted Thompson. And not only does he not have as many swings now, on top of that, he doesn't have any, like, ahead in the count type swings, right, in the first round for the next 2 years. So I would not be surprised if that is a factor in their willingness to listen. Now, again, I don't know, like, what is Rashawn Gary worth? Like, a couple games ago, he was leading the league in sacks. The last two games, he's been on a milk cart. So I don't know. Like, what would you get back for him? Is somebody going to be willing? What are they going to give up for him that would make it worth their while that they're also saying, okay, well, that means now we're gonna count on Lucas Van Ness, who's got a foot injury. We're going to count on J.J. Enegbare. We're going to count on Brenton Cox, who's on IR, to pick up the slack and take advantage of the Parsons effect. I don't know. And then, you know, the other part of it is you've got Christian Watson coming back, and then I know Jaden Reed. I haven't gotten to watch the whole thing. I have it open in one of my 72 tabs on my browser, which everyone makes fun of me for when they see me working on my computer, of Jaden Reed and the video of him, you know, going through surgery and whatever else that Rosenhaus has put out. Like, he's going to be back eventually. Like, would you really still be willing to take calls on Romeo Doubs? Like, he just got 9 targets in the game. But I just find myself wondering if Goody, given what he gave up to get Parsons, is more interested in giving up players to accumulate future picks than he otherwise would be. And so I don't know the answer to that, Jen. I don't think you get better when you're chasing a championship by trading away good players.
Well, but, and also the whole Jeff Hafley saying, like, hey, Micah Parsons' presence is going to, you know, free up Rashawn Gary to make these plays. And to your point, like, the drop-off then becomes a little bit more significant if it's not Rashawn Gary out there who is supposed to be, you know, getting to the quarterback. So
does it? I mean, in the last two games, he has not done that, right? And Micah Parsons has been there.
Double-teamed, manhandled, as we have discussed. Yep, yep.
Yeah, maybe they think that they can get the same type of effect and get the contract off their books and acquire picks.
But to your point, buy low, sell high, right, Jason? Like, maybe, right, hey, Rashawn, right, could you have a couple of good games before we try to get value back for you?
Can I have one of those Antoine Odom 5-sack games, and then the next day you've been traded to Cleveland?
Value's never been higher. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee right here after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday.
Cheese It, the legendary snack cracker. It's now available as a frozen pizza. Each crust, a giant original Cheese It flavored cracker crust that's square shaped. Of course, that's what Cheese It is. It's an ultra thin, super crispy, perfect amount of Cheese It flavor for the crust. So then on top, what are we talking about? Well, this is from Palermo, so you know those toppings are going to be incredibly poured on there. It's going to taste fantastic because that's what Palermo's does. They've got Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni for the Cheez-It frozen pizzas. And has one of the shortest bake times, so you'll be from freezing to cheesing in as few as 8 minutes. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse
finally
than
we
what
got,
ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally, yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Bring more beauty and organization to your home. I cannot recommend Closets by Design enough. And look, it doesn't have to be a closet. Yes, they are fantastic at bringing organization to those spaces in your home, but you got a mudroom, you got a pantry, Closets by Design can handle that as well. I worked with Doug and his team in Mequon. They brought a beautiful closet to my home, and it really helped me with my anxiety. It was so cluttered. It was so overwhelming. I couldn't even walk in there without getting anxiety. And now it is an organized space that brings me peace. Even though they're a national brand, Doug and his team, they're right here in Mequon. They have a beautiful showroom that you can visit. No obligation, in-home consultations, custom designs, and the best value in the industry. If you are like me and you're ready to get organized, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. If you missed our conversation with Jason Wilde just a few moments ago, you missed us talking about the ESPN Insider report from Jeremy Fowler that teams are interested in Rashawn Gary and Kingsley Engabare. Now, you may be saying, why in the world would the Packers do that? And I got to be honest, that's kind of where I am on this thing as well. We have talked about Chu, how the defense came out of the gate gangbusters, and how we thought, wow, they are going to ride this defense all the way to the Super Bowl this year. And then over the last few weeks, it has not been that. And Rashawn Gary's numbers are similar to what we are saying about the defense. There has been an underwhelmingness to his performances recently. Do you see any situation where the Green Bay Packers would say, yes, we would like to move Rashawn Gary, and here's what we would do it for?
Well, I think it all depends on how bad the Van Ness injury is. If it's just going to be a game or two, I could see him move. Look, I'd like to get the guy off the books, right? He's not going to be here next year at the number he is due. I mean, what would they get? Would they get a fourth for him, Gabe?
I mean, if that's the offer,
less than a fourth.
If
yeah.
that's the offer, I think Goody says no. Like, you got to blow him away, especially injury. You know what I'm saying? With the injury to Van Ness, because I would also be worried that unless you get. Because remember what happened when they traded away Rasul Douglas for a third-round pick? And Goody's like, it was just too good to say no to. And then they get hot, and you're like, it would have been nice to have Rasul Douglas down the stretch here, even though they won a playoff game and did that. I would just be worried that you would be sending a message of, hey, we believe in you. We just went and got Micah Parsons. And then if you ship off Rashawn Gary, I would be wary of wait, do they actually believe in us? What are they doing up there? Why are we trading away a starting defensive end for a draft pick right now?
Josh Hader situation.
Yes, I would be a little bit worried about that. Yeah, like, this guy has 4.5 sacks. I understand the last 2 games haven't been good. I would be worried about what it would do to the locker room, I guess, is what I am saying. Unless you got, like, a first-round pick, which they're clearly not going to get.
So it's not just Lucas Van Ness Chew. It's Brenton Cox Jr. on injured reserve. It's Colin Oliver on the physically unable to perform list. I guess it depends on how confident you are in Baron Sorrell and his ability, even, you know, he's a rookie with limited snaps, that he could step into that role effectively.
But in regards to the locker room, Gabe, and this happened in our day, it's like there's a handful of players sitting around going, is Gary stealing? You talk about 20-something million for what he does? Oh, my God. So it kind of works both ways there.
Yeah, but what if he goes out and has 2 more sacks and leads the league in sacks again? Then I don't think you can accuse him of stealing.
All right, let me ask you this. Who's more impactful this year, Van Ness or Gary?
Gary.
I would say Van Ness, man. Van Ness, if he just develops a move, he is, I was going to say Aaron Kampman light.
I mean, I was about to say that's high praise. Aaron Kampman, very underrated.
Yeah, but there's the light. I mean, he's playing better.
Sure, but I mean, Rashawn Gary was doing a lot early in the season too. Like I don't know if it's recency bias that we saw Lucas Van Ness get the latest sack, so he's been more productive because he hasn't over when you take all 5 games into consideration.
My thing is, what do they do with him next year?
Probably have to restructure.
What if he doesn't? Then he's gone.
Then he's gone.
Right? Do you think he'll restructure?
Depends upon how well he plays this year. Like, if he gets to double-digit sacks for the first time in his career, no, he will not restructure. But if he doesn't, with Micah Parsons on the other side, I think the Packers have a really good case of, hey, look, you've been getting these one-on-ones. We'd like you to stick around. We think you can be a solid player. You just can't play at this number because you weren't able to go out there and be the difference maker we thought you were.
Looks like the Packers would save $10 million by moving off of Gary in a trade. Does that incentivize you? Does that give you a little bit more like, ooh, that's interesting?
It's not enough money to make me go, hey, let's trust Engabare, let's trust Lucas Van Ness with a foot injury. The foot injury honestly kind of throws it all in there. And I think you've got to get a high enough draft pick to go, hey, I couldn't say no to this, right? Like, that's where I think you have to. Because if you just trade him for a fourth-round pick, Chew, what are we doing? We're punting on a guy who started every single game for us this season for a mid-round pick? For a guy who's going to be picked on day 3 of the draft?
I know, but history has told us that the farther he gets into the season, he's a guy at best, you know? So I have no confidence that the guy's going to, all right, now we'll get back to sacks to get to the double. I have no confidence.
But he's also the best guy of the bunch.
Where's he been?
The last 2 games?
Where's he been?
Yeah, but the problem is, Chew, he's the best of the rest of the options, because I wouldn't say that Lucas Van Ness has been any more than a guy this year either.
For me, it's a depth thing. For me, it just comes down to the depth on the defensive line. And the problem is right now you just don't have it because of the injuries that we have mentioned, because, you know, the Baron Sorrell is a rookie and you're going to give him limited snaps right now. You're not going to throw him into the fire. So for me, it's like you need depth on this unit as the season goes on. He's been reliable, even if he is just a guy. There's a part of me that says, to Gabe's point, unless you blow me away with an offer, because you're more desperate than we are at that position, it ain't happening. That's what my gut tells me right now.
Do you guys think Goody consults with Halfley and LaFleur, or he just does it?
I'd like to think that he does. I don't know if he does. I'd like to think that there's collaboration there.
You think so?
I mean, the reporting around, and maybe because the Micah Parsons trade is so big and what the compensation was, the reporting around that was that Goody didn't want to make the move unless everybody was on board. And he wanted to make sure that LaFleur was good with what they were losing in Kenny Clark to get Micah Parsons. Now, obviously, everybody was on board, and they went and got Micah Parsons. So that showed that there was some collaboration there, when there have been times where we've wondered about the collaboration, for sure.
Well, do you doubt do you doubt that Goody consulted with Joe Barry Carroll over the Rasul Douglas? My guess is Goody just did it.
Well, I mean, probably.
I know.
Probably. But I would like to think that, again, maybe I'm just completely wrong, Chu. I'd like to think that Jeff Hafley has more respect in that building than Joe Barry Carroll did.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know. I think if Van Ness was healthy, I think.
I think it's easier to consider if Van Ness is healthy.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
They've been so mysterious around what his foot injury is that it's hard to know if he's going to be available.
To me, this is all – it's great they reached out because it seems like the Packers have a surplus of pass rushers. But contending teams don't give away pressures even if they have too many.
That's true.
You just there's
one of those things you can't have too many of.
Yeah, there's just no situation where it would make sense if you believe you're a Super Bowl contender to trade away, even with the looming contract stuff. That's a we'll figure it out in the offseason type of situation. And great, maybe we'll call you back in the offseason and we'll try and work something out. But you need as many good guys as possible, and not just from injuries an aspect. It's more fresh bodies is going to make them more productive.
Well, and I know we're talking defensive end versus defensive tackles, but Carl Brooks had 51 snaps against the Bengals. Warren Brinson had 19. Nazir Stackhouse had 5. Again, the defensive line as a whole is bringing in some of these guys that you don't necessarily love seeing out there, right? Carl Brooks, do you want Carl Brooks playing the most snaps at defensive tackle for your team? No, but that's the Devontae Wyatt injury.
Yeah, I was about to say, as of right now, he's the one I trust the most out of the healthy group.
So, again, we're two different positions in defensive end and defensive tackle, but when you talk about the defensive line health as a whole, they're sort of in it right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so there's a part of me that is like, healthy body, even if you're not the biggest Rashawn Gary fan, there's value in making sure he's on this roster.
And when everybody's healthy, I mean, we've all been excited about dropping Van Ness down and having those three on the field at the same time, which that does take away if you were to trade away Rashawn Gary.
800-990-3776. Let us know what you think. Josh is going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll as well. Just asking, you know, Rashawn Gary's name has been mentioned in this Jeremy Fowler report about teams interested in him. Would you trade him if you were the Green Bay Packers? Let us know. Got a lot of stuff to get to in the show. Obviously, we'll continue talking about your Brewers taking on the Dodgers this evening, game 3 of the NLCS. But I also want to get to this interesting story from the NFL about New York calling penalties. Weird, right? We'll get into that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
Bucks basketball is back, and it's time to play. The Bucks open up the regular season coming up next Wednesday, October 22nd, against Washington. Watch Miles Turner playing his first regular season game for the first time as a Buck. Nothing compares to the energy of Fiserv Forum, the raucous crowd, the freakish slam dunks, the buzzer-beating three-pointers. Get in on the action with the ticket plan that works for you. Learn more at Bucks.com/tickets.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm right-handed,
I feel more confident in my left hand here, just cupping right now, other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also
I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future of businesses for 167 years. And for the last 15, right here in Milwaukee, we offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help you navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. At Fifth Third, we're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions and build strong community connections. Experience the commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
I like this reaction that came in from Ian in East Troy. If they trade away Rashawn Gary, they are admitting that they are a year away. Do you agree with that sentiment, Chu?
I don't know.
Great job.
Well, I don't. Because I think I've said in the past that it's all in this year because of the cap issues. What do you guys think?
Yes.
I just think this is it.
The answer to the question was yes.
Hey, the get off my back. I was concussed last night, okay?
Or no. You were concussed last night. That's
I was
true.
Concussed. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yes. A little late. A little late.
And he gave you the
but,
answer.
Yeah.
Mike in the 262 says, hey, I wouldn't trade Gary as of now. Yes. He's one of the best DNs against the run, and we all know stopping the run is a foundation of any good defense. I would keep everything as is. And to the point that Mike is making here, they have been very good against the run this year. I think that has been a pleasant surprise for this defense. Are there other areas where you're going, hey, what the heck, guys? Can we get a turnover here? Can we, you know, I did see this, though, that I thought was interesting. I saw it in an ESPN article. Packers are the only team in the NFL that have led by double digits in every game this season. Did you guys know that? The only team in the league that has led by double digits in every game this season. That according to ESPN.com.
I don't know if that makes me feel better.
I know. It doesn't really translate.
You mean 'tis the record?
Yeah.
3-1-1?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, if they were 4-1, sure, but that means they've blown two of those leads, Jen. That's what it means.
Yeah.
That they have done this five times, and twice they haven't been able to hold
and
on.
And you thought this was going to be an offensive stat. See? Look at that. Look how we made that fit with the conversation we were having about the defense. Yeah, that is interesting.
Doesn't make me feel good.
Packers are the only team in the NFL that have led by double digits in every game this season, and yet they have a loss and a tie on their ledger. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to in the second hour. Stick around.